a stone, an ancient hand in a faded yellow green. Made alive a worldly wonder, often told but never seen.
All right, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Gaucho Amigos. I'm Alex. Today, my guest is Anna Martinez. She's a graphic designer slash artist from the Bay Area. But if you participate in the whole Steely Dan Twitter thing, you know her better as Jive Miguel. She's on that platform as an active Steely Dan poster, sharing bits and memes, as well as interesting insights and pieces of history related to the band. She's very witty. Her account has been one of my favorite Dan-themed accounts on there for a little while now. So it was great to finally meet her over Zoom and hash it out. You know, I thought we had a really good kind of rambling Dan chat that touched on a variety of topics. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Anna Martinez. Enjoy.
Definitely as a kid, you know, my parents had it on in the background. I was thinking about this because I'm assuming you were going to ask this question. And I'm like, okay, let's analyze how this unfolded, right? And I would say, like, probably like your typical mixtape with like soft rock. And you'd hear Do It Again. Like when I was listening to Steely Dan, I'm like, oh, this is the song I know. Which I think is funny because now in hindsight, it almost feels like an outsider, that song to me. It just doesn't really feel Steely Dan when you know the whole catalog. And every time it pops up, I'm kind of like, man, this one just sounds kind of different. I don't know if I'm maybe like sick of it. You know what I mean? Like you've heard that one so many times that you're just kind of like, skip. I know some people are going to be mad at that, but, and I don't always skip, but sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm over it, you know, but, that was the intro, but the real, like, coming back to it and really getting to know Steely Dan well, and I think this is hilarious, but it's actually through the Insane Johnny account, because for a while he was just, like, it was constant. It was just, like, these constant memes about Steely Dan. And my fiancé, he's way more knowledgeable on music. He introduced me to a lot of things that I was unaware of. I'm from Spain, by the way, so, like, okay. You know, coming to the US, I've been in the Bay Area for 10 years. My mom's American, my dad's Spanish, but I was born and grew up there. Oh, so, wow. You know, I came out here and like meet this guy and he like introduces me to all this stuff that I either missed out on, or I don't know if it was like a geographical thing or just, I don't know, you know how that just works out sometimes.
Yeah, like
you're introduced to some things, you're unaware of others. So he was into a lot of different music that I was unaware of. And he introduced me to stuff that I liked.
Like what else?
Oddly enough, like Talking Heads. Like, yeah. I mean, I knew of the Talking Heads, but I didn't know their catalog. And I absolutely love them now. Like, great, yeah. Great band as well. And he's a big fan. But anything David Byrne, you know, love it. But when this whole Insane Johnny thing started, he and his best friend were texting. And his best friend had been a Dan fan since way back. And he had kept trying to like convince him, man, you really got to give it an honest chance, you know, like give it a shot. And with this whole Insane Johnny stuff, he's like, man, maybe I should. I mean, people are talking about this shit. Maybe I should check it out.
Yeah.
And so he would play it in the background. I'm like, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's Steely Dan. And I'm like, wait, Steely Dan? Like, I've never heard this stuff, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute, dude, this stuff is good. It's not like, I don't know. It's like sometimes he'll play stuff and I'm just like, nah, like I'm
doesn't
not into
register.
It.
Yeah.
But this just like clicked. Like it was like instantly you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. This is good.
You remember which album or which songs in particular clicked?
You know, honestly, for me, it started with Royal Scam. Mm. And being from Spain also, like you're like, Caves of Altamira? Like, wait a minute, what? Why are you guys talking about these caves, right? Like, this is odd. Why? There are several mentions of Spain in the Steely Dan catalog. Which I found also interesting. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, I'm listening. But yeah, I think it was Royal Scam. So easy to get into, man. That shit is just so good. Like they're all good. And then slowly expanding into everything. It's like, it's funny because the way that you discover more and more things, for me, it was very like, And I think you mentioned this too, where you like get obsessed with one and you just like listen to it back to back to back until you're like almost sick. I mean, you never get sick of Steely Dan, but
Right.
until you're kind of like, okay, I'm ready to move on to the next, what's the next step here? You know? So then once you've done all the Steely Dan albums, then you're like, okay, what else is out there? Like, oh, let's listen to the, you know, solo Donald stuff. And you're like, wow, this is fantastic. And then you're like, let's see about Walter. Like, I must admit it took me a bit longer to get into Walter's stuff just because it's so different, you know?
Yeah.
And I love it now. So it's like, I think it just takes time. You have to listen to it and kind of marinate, let it marinate, and it grows on you.
So, of all the things that you were kind of introduced to that you kind of missed out on, you know, in your childhood because you grew up in Spain, the Steely Dan's the thing that maybe like really clicked for you, or just the thing that you were like, wow, how did I miss this? Is
I think so because,
yeah.
you know, my mom would drive my brother and I to school, and it's funny because I think about the selection that she had, and it's like Doobie Brothers, like that Minute by Minute. I mean, that is like anytime that album comes on, I think of my mom because she just loved that album. And I'm like, how are you listening to Doobie Brothers? And she's like, I just never really got into Steely Dan,
But that
which
album is very adjacent to Steely Dan. It has Michael
I know. So
McDonald and
that's why
Skunk.
it's weird to me that you're like,
Yeah.
you love this album. Oh my God, like listen to it so many times. And adjacent things to that. I mean, what else was she listening to? I mean, she had like, God, I'm trying to think, but Doobie Brothers, Alan Parsons, she loved Boz Scaggs. Dude, like how, like, it's like you have this checklist and you're just missing Steely Dan.
She had
I
2/3 of the Dukes of September, but was missing
know.
Donald.
Seriously. I know, it's so odd. And then my dad is a huge jazz fan. So I think it was
Oh,
just such a
perfect.
perfect combo. You know, like my dad's like, love like modern jazz quartet and Oscar Peterson and Mingus and Thelonious Monk. It's like it was meant to be. All the ingredients were there, we're just putting it together. And then just, I think that's why it so easily clicked for me. Like,
It
yeah,
was
this
perfectly
is.
backloaded. You had the Doobies and Boz on one side, and then you had all this jazz on the other, and it was kind of marinating your whole childhood. And then finally,
Exactly. Just to
the.
be, you know, a lot like the second you hear it, you're like, oh, yes, this is it. This is it. You know, I would spend summers here, and so coming
Okay.
here and listening to the radio, you'd be like, oh man, like Fleetwood Mac, like I love Fleetwood Mac. And it's funny because, like, I mean, it's not like my mom really, she didn't have a Fleetwood Mac tape, you know, but it was like I knew Fleetwood Mac, I knew several of their songs, like loved them. But this, the same didn't happen with Steely Dan. And I wonder, I ask myself, like, what would have happened if I would have been exposed to like Time Out of Mind, which is like one of my favorite Steely Dan. Like, would that have changed anything? I mean, would have, it almost feels like you have to be in the right place to receive certain things. Like, you're ready for it. You know what
Completely
I
agree.
mean? Like,
Yeah.
it's almost like, I don't know if I would have appreciated it back then. You know, when I finally got to the point where I was listening to Gaucho, I was just like, the first few times I was listening to it, I'm like, this is insane. Like, this is like weird. Like, I just, it took me a long time to like really get into it. I mean, it was like playing it over and over because I think I just didn't understand it and I was fascinated by it. And I
Right.
just had to like, and then the moment that it clicks, you're like, this is genius. Like, this album is incredible. It's just like, I haven't heard anything like this. And it just feels so contemporary still.
Yeah.
So I think that moment when it clicks is just magical. You're like, this is so good. This is excellent. It just doesn't get old.
Yep.
So definitely, I mean, you know, in Spain, the radio was playing local Spanish music, which I also wasn't a huge fan of. Actually, it's funny because through my friends and like what they were doing, we were exposed to a lot of like rap and hip hop, and that was mostly what I was listening to. And then as a teenager, when I got a little bit older, I was able to appreciate jazz because I remember being in the car, like going on road trips with my parents, and my dad playing Modern Jazz Quartet. And I'm like, man, I hate this. Like, can you turn this off? And he wouldn't. He's like, no, like we're listening to this. And now I love it. I think it's just, again, it's like being at the right place where you can like understand it and appreciate it. And like, so when I was like in college, I remember discovering Nina Simone and just being like, holy shit, like this is incredible. Like I love her. She's great. It's just, and my dad's like, oh, I wasn't really familiar with her work, but it sounds really good. Because I'd be playing it in my room or wherever when I was still living at home. And I don't know, it's just like interesting to think about again this conversation of like coming here and meeting people that talk to you about things you've never heard of. Like it's like, Matt, like we were listening to rap and hip hop and going to shows back in Spain. Like I remember going to see Gangstar, and I think I was like the first person, like I was in the front row because nobody knew that shit back there, you know? Like, so
Wow.
I got to see some insane people for like, and shows are cheap there, like 15 euro, 20 euro to go see these like insane acts, like The Roots. Like I went to see The Roots and I can't remember what year it was, but it was like one of the funnest shows I've ever been to because they play these like really long instrumentals that were just super sick to just listen to and be like, again, you're like 100 people in this venue. Like it was a really crazy experience. But it was like from that to coming here, and then like it's a completely different, you know, realm of music that I'm listening to now versus like now I'm not really that interested in that music. I think there are great things out there. There are classics for sure, but I'm more into this, delving more into like Steely Dan and this angle and Donald Fagen stuff. It's just, I don't know. I guess it's just the age you're at and what you're interested in.
Yeah. Do you connect now with your dad about music at all? Like, will you talk about jazz or?
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny because I'm sure you guys have seen like on Twitter, I've posted some pictures in Barcelona and now you can like, I'm from there. So like I go a couple times a year or whatever. I try to go at least once a year. Last year for because of a mistake, I ended up going twice, but my dad got sick a couple of years ago and I had to just like drop everything and head out there and help him out. And
I'm sorry.
so I was in his house. Well, he was in the hospital for a long time. He's fine now. But
Okay.
when he was sick, I was in his house and I was just like, he has this big record collection. And I was like, let me just go through this stuff because I've actually never looked through his stuff. Like, I don't know what's in here. You know, so I'm like, how the hell do you guys have, because he's, you know, he had music that he shared with my mom. And so I'm going through these, you know, records and I'm like, you guys have pretty much the entire Steely Dan catalog, either in vinyl or in tape. And I don't remember hearing any of it. What,
Wow.
like what? So I don't know if it was like before I was born that they were listening to it. I mean, I asked him about it recently. I was like, why were you not listening to Steely Dan? He goes, I clearly remember this one time that your grandmother, so his mother-in-law, was visiting. And he's like, and I remember we got in the car, we went on a road trip somewhere, and I remember putting in a Steely Dan tape. And I was like, I mean, that was prior to me, like, see, my grandmother died when I was 7, so I was very young. I
Yeah.
don't remember it, but he was like, no, we definitely played it. You were probably just too young, you know? But while he was sick, I remember this one day I was driving him somewhere and I was playing the Nightfly, and he's like, what is this? And I was like, oh, this is Donald Fagen's 1980 masterpiece. Is it 1980? The
82, yeah.
Nightfly. And he was like, he was just kind of quiet, like just listening. And a few months later, when I was already back, we FaceTimed and he was like, check out what I bought. And he pulls out Nightfly CD. And I'm like, hell yeah. Yeah, you can't be mad at that album. It's incredible.
I actually, it's funny because I actually had to ask my own dad, after the Rolling Stone thing. I was like, hey, why didn't we have Steely Dan in the house? Like, why didn't you listen to them? Because he likes a lot of kind of classic rock and music from that time and other bands. Like, I remember he really liked the Talking Heads and Fleetwood Mac and stuff. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I never got into Steely Dan, but I remember in the very early days of MTV, I saw the video for New Frontier and he loved that. And he went out and bought a cassette of the Nightfly. And apparently we
Oh,
had
sick.
that on cassette in our house, like throughout my childhood, but I just don't remember him ever playing it.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I mean,
Yeah.
maybe we're just too young because
Must have been, yeah.
I mean, I was born in 84, so it's like, you know, it's kind of late, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
Like,
we're
I've
the
listened to it, I'm over it, and I'm listening to something else now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's well, it's funny because I'm 85, so we're really close in age. And I feel like when we grew up was kind of the worst time to be into Steely Dan. Like it was the time when they were most
Yes.
disrespected by, you know, the music community as being, you know, old farts who were just really like lame and just uncool to like, you know what I mean? Like it
I
was like
agree.
the peak of that time. So if you were born before, you know, maybe you caught the first wave of Steely Dan when, you know, Asia was a hip album. And then if you were born later on, you're catching this Danissance or whatever. But like during our
I
childhoods, I
agree.
remember just like you wouldn't even want to say that you liked Steely Dan because it was considered so like retro in a negative way. Getting to your alter ego, Jive Miguel. Was your choice of Jive Miguel somehow? I know it's from Colombia, not from Spain, but is it somehow a reference to
No, I just thought it was one of the
your
funnier characters on there. I'm like, dude,
Okay.
this is like, I don't know, like that song. There's so much to pick from that. Like, I just thought he was the funniest.
What made you want to like go on Twitter and do Steely Dan like account stuff? Like what started that? Like what prompted that? Do you remember?
It's funny because I've been on Twitter for years, but just like kind of as a passive user, just like I'd use it to like read news. Because it's like
Yeah.
such a, it's like the quickest way to receive, you know, or read about things that are happening at the moment. So it was like a, it was more of like a tool, you know? And then it's just like a gradual thing. Like, I don't even know how, did I like search for the hashtag? I have no idea. I don't, or maybe it was because of the memes. Like, I was just looking for more content. And then I'm like, wait a minute, there's like several people on here talking about this. And then following some accounts and being like, man, this is just like my place to be, because
Yeah,
I think the meme world is so funny, and I've always been looking at that stuff, and so the combination of those two is just like the perfect marriage. Like the Steely Dan content, I mean, it's like endless. So that overlapping with memes is just, it's like an easy formula, I guess.
do you know why? Do you have any idea why you think that? I mean, we can, it's been dissected to death already by me and other people, but what's your own take on it?
I mean, the content offered in the Steely Dan Daniverse, it's like, I mean, I think about like the way I tweet is like you're listening to a song and you hear one of the lyrics and you're like, oh man, just this small little thing, like you can blow this into how many options of funny things. Or I think
Right.
also like the knowledge of memes, it's funny because it's like this useless piece of information that just lives rent free in your head of like these memes that you're constantly exposed to. And so it's like matching those two things, like this lyric with like this meme that's popular, like that's in your toolbox, let's say. It's like the easiest thing to be like, okay, this works. I mean, I think we all pull from that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like an easy go-to for
Or it's like
content.
seeing the world through the lens of the Steely Dan universe. You know, it's like
Exactly.
something happens in the current events. It's like, well, where does this appear in the Steely Dan lyrical universe? And usually you can find something, especially
We
once you get into the
definitely,
solo albums. Like, you got a lot to work
exactly,
with.
totally. And I think we de you know, it's funny because I think sometimes when you see these things trending and you're like, this is a quote tweet, like we've all done that of something that's like completely unrelated that you're like, yeah, this is gonna be from, you know, like I'm gonna quote tweet this and put a, like the other day they were talking about what's the New York mayor who put out that video of like going through your kid's room.
Oh, Eric Adams, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, this has got to be a joke, man. Like,
Yeah,
how is this real? And I'm like, this is like Glamour Profession or some shit. I don't know, like
I
shining silver bowls and chasing dragons. Like, what is this? It's like so easy to just take that stuff that's just like super heavily trending on Twitter and take it and just make it, pull it into your Daniverse. And, you know, I think that's the like the lazy approach, I will say.
well, I mean that it can be hysterically funny. You know, when
It
you
can.
somehow,
It can. I
you're
think it's
making
just
light of it through this humorous, tool.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
I think that's kind of what Donald and Walter did themselves, is they saw the world around them and then they took certain things that they found weird or interesting or bizarre, or they saw the humor in something and then they incorporated it into their music, right? So
Yeah.
it's kind of doing that on another level.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I agree.
And honestly, those get the biggest laugh sometimes, is the quote tweet, with just like, especially when there's no caption, it's just like the image, and it can be hysterically funny when someone really hits it on the head. And you often do. So yeah. I mean, the thing about
Agree.
Twitter is it's a meritocracy. So it's like, like you've amassed a following, your stuff gets shared a lot. Like you posted something just yesterday that was really funny. I can't, why am I, I'm sorry. I'm so inundated with Steely Dan shit
Oh no,
24/7
I'm
that
sure it's
sometimes
hard to keep
I
up
miss
with.
things. I was actually before last night, to just get a little bit ready for this, I was scrolling back through your account and I've missed so many amazing things that you posted that I'm like, I just missed because I was either busy that day or I saw like the algorithm, I need to get better at it or something. Just making sure I don't. There was one really funny one I can't believe I didn't see, was you posted, it was the Spanish language version of Can't Buy a Thrill, and it had all the track titles in Spanish. You're like, I'm gonna go home and listen to like Llorando en el cumpleaños.
So funny. I was like, dude, I can't believe, like, okay, so one of the times I went back to Barcelona, I walk into this record store that is new. I mean, I've been gone for 10 years, so a lot of stuff
Yeah.
when I go back is just new. So and I walk into this record store and I start talking to this guy. That's the one that had the they had Asia under Jazz Fusion, and I'm like, oh my God, dude, this is going on Twitter. Like, this is definitely gonna, like, this is funny. And so I was like, because I asked him, I'm like, do you have any Steely Dan? Steely Dan. And he was like, yeah, I think so. Let me take a look. So he's shuffling through and he's like, oh, here we go. And he pulls out Asia. And he's like, it's either here or sometimes it goes here. So he had it either, I can't remember what the other classification was, but he just dropped it in Jazz Fusion, and I just laughed. But I asked him, I said, hey, because apparently, the Spanish version of Can't Buy a Thrill has different artwork to it because of Franco, because he wouldn't allow, it was like outrageous to have that cover, right? And I was like, have you ever seen it? And he's like, I don't even know if I was aware of that. I mean, it's like, unless you're in the Daniverse, why would you know that?
Yeah.
But I'm like, it would be funny. Like, I'd love to have it as a collector just for the fun of it, like this different cover that's specifically for Spain. But I said, well, it's on Discogs for like €400. Like, I'm not spending that much. But I was like,
Yeah.
maybe I'll be lucky and find it in some, I like to, I go antiquing and stuff. And I was looking through some of those bins, and I think I posted how I found the China Crisis one. And I was like, oh,
Yeah.
this is weird. Like, that's unexpected. But no, I didn't find I'm not sure. I'm keeping hope that I will find it in some antique shop, some obscure antique shop when I visit, but we'll see.
I really hope you find that. Because I've seen that. I know that it exists, and I know that it was because like Franco, it didn't meet the censorship standards of the time. So I think instead of the classic image, it's just like a picture of the band, right?
Yeah, them playing, which I'm like, this
Yeah.
is such a weird
Yeah.
alternative, but okay. I mean, very lazy in my opinion. But another thing, I was actually gonna ask this on Twitter, because I'm like, I'm an artist, I'm a designer, so I'm also very curious about, like, their artwork is like all over the place. It seems inconsistent to me in terms of, like, your music is just pristine and the artwork is, excuse me, but I think it's a little shitty. And some, like, I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, Gaucho's like, what is the background to this? Like, why are they using, it's like an Argentinian, it's not a sculpture, but it's like on a
Yeah.
wall in Buenos Aires or something. And you're like, what, this obscure, maybe it isn't, but I'm like, what, why did you choose this? Like, I've never really found a thread that talks in depth of, like, who made the artwork? Why did they choose this stuff? Like, there's some artists that are so specific and they're like, really spend time like curating this artwork, and these guys just seem like, it seems very random to me when you put them
No,
next to each other. No?
I agree. I mean, I was actually just thinking about that recently, because there's this amazing picture of Donald, Walter, and Skunk, and they're standing in front of that adult movie theater. And I was like, this would have been the
Yes.
perfect cover for Katie Lied, right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like,
Or
it's funny in
for,
itself,
yeah.
the image.
But no, it's funny. And also because they spend so much time and so much attention to detail on the records, but then when it came to the artwork, it was so half-assed. And I feel like that's part of the bit somehow, that they don't really give a shit about the presentation. They just care about the music. And it's like they put this sort of obscure, almost, you know, there's something about the fact that it's almost so anonymous that it adds to their own anonymity in terms of their place in the world, where they didn't really like to give a lot of background on who they were, who Donald and Walter were, and they kind of wanted to keep an air of mystique around them. And I feel like the artwork doesn't explain anything about who Steely
Yeah.
Dan was, right? It's the songs that tell us everything we need to know. So I feel like in a way it's like it has that same, it's on that same kind of level, I guess. I mean, like the Katie Lied cover is just a visual pun, because it's a Katie did. Katie Lied, Katie did. That's it. It's this really
And
weird
it's not
cover.
even, I'm sorry, but it's not even a good one. It just isn't.
I
Like,
don't know.
that's what I'm saying. It's weird. Like, I mean, your theory is interesting. It's just something I've always thought about. It's exactly that. Like, you spend so much time and you're so particular about the way the music sounds, and then you don't care about, I mean, I would say the same thing about their merch. To me, it's a mystery that they wouldn't like, and this is the way, the mysterious ways that Donald Fagen works in my mind. Like, he doesn't give a shit about this. I'm not sure if he doesn't care or he doesn't realize the potential that there is behind that merch, because I think there is great potential there. Like, man, I would buy the shit out of that stuff, but it's like, it's just not good.
Yeah, their merch is really not good. And other that's
It's
where
not.
the Double Wonderful and these other kind of Steely Dan merch, you know, independent or bootleg vendors have really been able to do well, because yeah, there's a void there that can be filled. So yeah. I mean, the album artwork is a totally, you know, it's I like it, 'cause I don't know. It's there's something to me now, it's just iconic. I don't know if I could even
Yeah.
look at it the same way. Like I see the Pretzel Logic cover, I'm like, boom, you know, like my brain makes that. Like there's something very amusing about it. But the merch, I completely agree. I think it's a huge missed opportunity. I don't know why they don't invest more, or you know, try to make better merch. I don't know. I don't know if it's fun. I mean, they don't do social media either, really. I mean, there's
I
nothing.
know.
And that's, I think, the main reason that like my account and others' accounts have been able to like find a following, is just because they didn't do anything themselves again. So there is this void. So it's all coming from the fan world. Like, yeah, I mean, I just think Donald doesn't care. I just think he's like, doesn't give a shit and doesn't want to be bothered. And he's, I don't know. I don't know.
And you
He's,
try to put yourself in his head. It's like he likes making the music, clearly, if he's still
yeah.
doing it. And maybe that's where his focus is, and he just doesn't, I mean, it must pay well. I mean, I don't know, but I'm assuming at his age, I think his net worth is like 50 million. Like, yeah, you got other things to worry about. Like, I would rather him focus on getting his damn new album out than merch. Come on, man, what are you doing? Like, it's been long enough, as you said. It's what we're coming up on the every 10 years, more or less, he's putting out new music. Like,
The
we're
clock is
waiting.
ticking. Yeah. What did you think of, because I feel like a lot of our little Twitter world was kind of on the same page about this. And what did you think? What do you think of this Eagles tour? What's your take on it?
I think it's complete bullshit. I was like, I'm not paying those prices. My mom, the other day, she called me, she's like, hey, can you help me get, she's like, I really want to go see the Eagles. I'm like, okay. She's like, can you help me get a ticket? I was like, I think it's very expensive. She lives in Phoenix. So I look it up and I'm like, they start at 300. She's like, never mind. 300. I was like, I was like, wait, what are they going for in LA? If they're going for 300 in Phoenix? And they were slightly cheaper. They started at like 280. I was like, that's a lot.
It's also, if you see a show at an arena, like those nosebleed seats are like, you're missing out. I mean, it's just not good.
I mean, it's
So
like
you want,
700.
yeah, for a decent seat,
It's.
it's like double that. So yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I did a little, I think on one of the podcasts, I ranted a bit about it, and then afterwards I was like, did I insult all my listeners who are all fans and probably want to go to this, but I don't know. I don't care. Like,
I know.
It's just like,
I just don't like, I
yeah.
don't want to listen to the top 10. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
it's
of
not
course.
going to be the deep cuts that we want to hear. It's going to be an insane amount. And honestly, my first reaction was I was bummed out because I was like, man,
Yeah.
I just want to see Steely Dan. Like, I don't
Yeah.
want this double, like, I would rather just see Steely Dan. So now I'm thinking, cool, another year that we have to wait for a separate tour. Like, that was where my mind went.
Right. Well, my hope is that in conjunction with the new album, which I've decided it will happen. He has to do it.
I think so too.
It will happen.
I'm...
And with that, there will be a Steely Dan tour, and maybe he'll play, you know, theaters. Cause like my dream is if Donald did something similar to what Bob Dylan does. And Bob Dylan is a lot older than Donald, so he's like well into his 80s. He plays theaters, you know, and he's like constantly touring.
Yeah.
And his set lists are totally unique. You never know what he's going to play. You never know what songs he's going to pull out of like his back catalog. He plays some of the classics, but then he plays like a lot of these deep cuts. I mean, I wonder if Donald could ever get away with that just because he's not quite on the same level of fame as Bob Dylan. So if people, you know, pay money to see Donald or Steely Dan, they want to see the hits. But like, as a fan, as someone who's an intense hardcore fan, that would be like my absolute dream. And he kind
I
of
agree.
did that once. Like he toured with like the Donald Fagen band in 2006, and he played a lot of the solo material live. And that was for the Morph the Cat. So that, like, if he did something like that, that would be amazing. I don't
Yeah.
expect that, but just I would at least hope that he will do a Steely Dan independent of the Eagles, and then maybe play some of the solo material and obviously play like the new stuff, and then maybe, you know, some Kamikiriad or Nightfly material. I mean, he did the Nightfly live recently, so
I
I don't
feel
know.
like you also you have better access being in New York than in the Bay Area. I feel like here it's like hit or miss. I mean, he's gonna probably play more venues and smaller ones being in New York since he's from there or close to there, than us out here. We're like getting the crumbs.
Well, you gotta come out. I've already gotten commitments from a few people who said if, you know, they do Beacon Theater, you know, or they do something
Oh my God, I
smaller,
would love that.
you gotta
I
come
would,
out. Like I think MVP and
yeah.
IGY both said that they would come up
Let's
to New
do
York.
it.
So you gotta come out. Yeah, we'll get a
Burning
crew.
Dan. That's
That's
the
that's it.
iteration.
Yeah. We can go to Rudy's before and yeah.
What was that guy? Somebody posted, oh my God, I actually saved this picture because I'm like, this guy's, he's wearing an Asia t-shirt and then the
Oh
Asia
yeah.
pants in front of Rudy's. I'm like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, there's some people like really see. I don't have that dog in me, you know. I'm not like, I'm not the guy to like dress up in the gear, you know. It's just not in my character. But like, more power to that, you know, the fans who go that extra mile, because that's insane. I mean, I've been to Rudy's. It's actually a pretty good bar. You can't get a black cow there, which I, you know,
Oh,
they're
that's
missing it.
disappointing.
It is, yeah. And they
We gotta write
advertise
it
that
up.
it's the bar from Black Cow on the website. Like you go to the website, it's like, this is the Rudy's. It was, you know, referenced on Asia, but then you go there and there's nothing Steely Dan related at the bar. They haven't taken like advantage of it in
Oh,
any way.
we gotta write a strongly worded email with words like disappointed.
Yeah. I think actually the day when I went there last year, I was in the neighborhood. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go to Rudy's because I can just take a picture of it and then post it on Twitter and people will like it. And that's exactly what happened. But when I was there taking a picture, there was another Steely Dan nerd who was also like doing a little photo shoot.
That is hilarious.
We're both like looking at each other like, you ever Steely Dan? But we didn't say anything.
Rudy's, that is so funny.
Drink your big black cat. Yeah. But, yeah, we're definitely, I mean, I feel like it's like me and you and like the other kind of, you know, regulars on Twitter, we all feel kind of similarly about the live situation. And, you know, I don't
yeah.
want to like shit on anyone's parade, if you know what I mean. Like, I know people are really excited. And especially if you've never seen them, you know, all be like, go see Donald before it's too late. Like,
yeah,
you know, whatever it costs, you know, just to see it once. But, you know, not my preferred version of Steely Dan is what
yeah.
they're doing now, to be honest.
Plan a weekend alone together at the Binky's place.
The Sugar Shack in Pennsylvania. Or would that be better? Because we'll get the red, the blazer. It's nice inside. And guess who's coming along for the ride? Who has a friend named Melanie? Who's not afraid to try new things? Who gets to spend her birthday in Spain? Possibly you, Jamie.
There's so many levels to the way that you get into this music, right? Like, first, it's just like surface level. You're listening to it. You're like, oh, this sounds good, you know? And then once you're comfortable with that and you're familiar with it, then you start to like really start listening and you're like, wait a minute. Like, I mean, I'll be like listening to it and like a sentence pops out and you're like, what did this just say? You're like, hold on. Did I hear that correctly? And then, you know, you look into it and you're like, what the hell are these guys even talking? I mean, this is... what? Like, this isn't the same. But it's just like the way that they talk about these like taboo topics in such a casual way and so gracefully, where it's just like it's skill. I mean, it's like, I mean, the combination of who these people are, right? Like, they're these really intellectual guys. They've had this, they're highly educated, very well read, and then their whole personality revolves around them being like not shitty people, but it's like they're taking like the whole nihilism, cynicism, you know, like they're just these dudes that just are like, this, we live in this like dystopian, you know, like situation, and let's talk about that and let's just bring it in. And that's all they talk about. I mean, when you look at their interviews, they don't answer a single question. It's like the funniest thing to read. You're like, these guys are just trolling. Like, that's their whole persona. They're just trolling every single person they talk to. Not only in interviews, they go out of their way to troll people who are like, well, what did I do? You know, like those letters to like Wes Anderson.
Oh yeah.
Or like Laura Ingraham one. Oh my God, that one on Twitter. Like,
that was a huge viral thing that I think you posted it, right? You found that.
Yeah. So it was just like these guys going out of their way to just like make fun of these people just because it's really funny. You're like, who else is doing this kind of, I mean, nobody that I can think of to take it to the extent that they do, where it's like, it is their entire personality. Not because it's a character, like they truly are these people, you know, that live this way. And I think, I'm not sure people really talk about it that much. Like, people are like, oh, why does Steely Dan click so much with this generation? I think it has a lot to do with like that angle, the cynicism and the nihilism angle to it, because this, the like absurd humor, right? Like, I feel like the absurd humor like really took off. And maybe since I joke around that I come from a third world country, but you know, maybe in my third world country, it was a little bit later than it was in the US, but like maybe in my early 20s, I remember like talking to people who had that kind of humor and I was like, this is my people, like this kind of absurd humor.
Yeah.
And so I think that also adds to like why I like Steely Dan. It's like, it's not only just like the jazz and the rock, it's like, it's also, once you delve deeper into it and listen to what they're saying, you're like, man, I have the same kind of humor. I have the same kind of outlook of like, you know, this we live in this dystopian world and like we're trying to navigate these like really weird things. I mean, think about like Everyone's Gone to the Movies. I'm sorry. This is the only song that never, where the lyrics like were prominent always. And I was like, soon you will be 18. Dude, what are these guys? This is disturbing. That one still is iffy to me. I'll listen to it. But I'm like, man, this one's tough. But you know what I mean? Like, it,
yeah,
of course, it's very relatable for our generation. And I think that's so, like, they were the ones that really stuck to it and really went all the way with it. And I just love that. I love it. I love that personality. I love just like really intelligent humor, very subtle, you know, ways of talking about things. It's just, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought maybe the sort of more like cynical worldview came from Walter, of the
I
two.
agree. Although, I mean, you listen to interviews with Donald, and I think there's some of it too, but I think Walter probably, I know it's really interesting to think about the influence that they each had in Steely Dan because it is kind of a mystery.
Or the influence they had on each other. I wonder if there was something that, like, their friendship was toxic in a way, because I'm sure they like influenced each other to be more like that, you know? And then they were just like, after college, like, yeah, fuck that. We're not gonna like get jobs. Like, I'm not gonna go to law school. I'm just gonna like write these wacky songs and like, you know, fuck around with my best friend. You know, I'm sure they kind of like it was that kind of thing where they were almost like bad influences on each other. I guess, you know, from a certain perspective, right? Because trying to become rock stars is not exactly you know, a foolproof way to, you know, have a successful career. I mean, they pulled it off, but it was risky, obviously.
You know, I think in one interview, was it Donald who was like, "Yeah, you know, when we're writing these songs, we're like trying to see who can make the other one laugh more." It's like they were trying to one up each other, which is hilarious to think about. Like, can you imagine those conversations? Okay, man, what should we talk about now? Like, oh, maybe we should write about this pedophile who like plays movies. Like, what? Like, what is how the worst thing we can talk about and like incorporate it into music? I mean, God, you'd pay to listen to those conversations.
But it would be harder to write that song, I think, if you were a solo artist. Because that, think about how vulnerable you have to be.
Totally,
But
I
like the fact
agree.
that Donald had Walter and Walter had Donald to be like, okay, I have complete trust in this person. We write songs together. Like, we're on the same level, right? And it's like, it's not a romantic relationship, because that would also be tough to write about a pedophile, you know? But it's these two guys. They're so close. They have this, you know, intense friendship. They went through college together. Now they're like keeping that thing going kind of post college. And, you know, one they're writing these songs. They're just so weird, but they have someone who will like, they won't judge them, or they won't, you know, think it's too
Exactly.
weird. And they had this,
Right.
they developed, I don't, it's still unclear exactly what their songwriting process was, but I know
Yeah.
that it was very, very close and collaborative, and that, you know, they were basically writing all these songs together. And I think those songs that came out of that could have only happened from two guys and not one. But that's just my own theory, I guess.
That's a good observation. I would agree with that. I mean, it's also, I don't know where else I read that they were talking about, and I struggle with this too as somebody in the creative world. Like, I hate the industry, but you have to interact with it. And the way that they just kind of took it into their own hands and, like, we're gonna interact with it. Like, we have to do all this bullshit that we don't wanna do. We're gonna do it our way. And we're gonna talk about this, like, really questionable stuff. It's like, I mean, it's pretty funny. It's like almost like this obscure, you know, we're gonna talk about this stuff. We don't know if they're even gonna think about it or listen to it, but so I think about that a lot actually when I try to apply it to myself. Like, yeah, I hate the creative industry. It's really tough. There are a lot of negative aspects to it, but how do you, like, you don't have a choice, right? Like, if you wanna put your stuff out there, you have to interact with it. So how do you do that in a way that you're okay with? And reading about somebody else, somebody like them having those struggles, you can relate and you can be like, that's cool. Like, I'm glad that they talked about this because who's talking about this kind of stuff? Somebody at that level, you know, like,
Well,
that's
it's crazy
pretty.
that they were able to do that and have success. Like, how many artists can you
Totally.
say were
Exactly.
able to achieve that? I mean, very few.
And the stuff that they were saying, I mean, some really controversial stuff. I mean, honestly, like, just openly shitting on people and getting away with it. Seriously, it's like, it's pretty impressive.
They got in at the right time, though, because I feel like the 70s were this weird time where you could be successful and kind of write about the movies at the time, you know, all the, it's kind of came up today on Twitter, actually. I was like talking about Steely Dan movies, and like a lot of the biggest directors of that era were actually like people who were making movies about really weird characters and, you know, unlikable people with unhappy endings, you know.
Yeah.
So timing was part of it, I think. But yeah,
Yeah.
I completely agree. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think they could have done it any other way. I just can't see them being the type to not do things their way. And I just feel like it was kind of this amazing thing that they pulled off, that they were able to keep that throughout their entire, like, that first run from Can't Buy a Thrill through Gaucho, and that they even had like crazy amounts of studio money to work with to bring these weird visions to life, you know, these characters on Peg and you know, Deacon Blues, like the fact that they were actually given like major studio backing to bring those songs into existence is just
I know,
like
you're like, is nobody reading this? Like,
yeah,
I guess, I don't know. I don't know if, or they were like, yeah, this is fine. I don't care. I don't know. I mean,
or maybe there's just one guy at the studio who's like, oh yeah, I agree, these guys are geniuses, but like they can
yeah.
also see the amazing thing about Steely Dan also, and I think they were self-aware about this, is that their songs work straight as well. Like even if you don't know Hey 19 is about a guy who's like creeping on a younger woman, it's still a great song. Like you can hear it at the grocery
Totally.
store and kind of tap your toe. Like I think they figured out a way to do it where they could, write about these things, but also at face value that it was just, yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. Absolutely. I mean, I think, I don't know if most fans, but a lot of fans definitely, I think, just exist in that layer.
Yeah. I got to talk to you about your budding interest in the melodica. How did that start?
Okay.
Always a pleasure to see one of your new
I
melodica
know, and
posts.
I'm bummed because it's been a minute now, like
Yeah.
I was I'm on I decided to put it on TikTok just because it's like a good vehicle for that stuff, and it got really good response, and people were like, man, do Peg next, and I'm like, I'm down, but I just don't have that much time,
Yeah.
so it's like I feel really bad because people are like, this guy was like, oh, like I'll riff off of it, like if you do one part, I'll do the other part, and I was like, oh, I'm so here for this. And then I went to Spain for 3 weeks, and then I was traveling a lot this fall, and then I got hit with a ton of work, so I was like, man, like I need to get back on this. But the reason it started is because I think, and similar to Donald and Walter, my fiance and I are constantly like just joking and like one-upping one another. So he like I'll gift him some dumb shit, and then he'll give me something dumber. Like
Yeah.
so, we're like joking around, and he shows up last Christmas with this melodica, and I was like, again, I'm not a musician. No. In another lifetime, I'd love to be one. I'm sure, like,
Yeah.
it's another creative outlet that I'm sure is fascinating. It's like you have to pick and choose your battles, right? Like, I'm more of a graphic artist, so I went down that lane. But,
For sure.
he just got me this melodica, and I was like, dude, this is fun. This is super fun. So I just play it by ear. So like he actually takes the audio and like slows it down for me, and then I just note by note figure it out like what sounds good to me. So I'm always like, I know you haters out there, like I'm not a musician, I'm just an amateur trying to have some fun, like relax everybody, but it's been super fun, and I'm definitely it's like itching to get back to it, and I finally now work has slowed down a bit, so I'm like, let's see if I can get some more out, because I definitely want to get into it. Like,
Yeah.
it's fun. It's super fun.
But what I love is that you're so passionate about your love of Steely Dan and their music. You just have to get it out of you in some way. So you bought this
Totally.
instrument and
That's
you just,
exactly it.
even if I just need to play one melody and I can figure out how to do that, then I'll feel like better.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? It's like, I don't
Yeah.
know what it is, but you're like, I like have to contribute or something. I don't know what it is, but it's like, you nailed it. That's exactly it.
Were you inspired initially just by seeing like clips of Donald doing it, like at the shows? Is that kind of what got you going, or hearing it on the
I
records?
think it's so ridiculous looking that I love it. I'm like, dude, what? I'm like, what is this instrument? Oh my God, somebody posted on Twitter. They were like, I'm at the Steely Dan show, and the guy in front of me is Googling a melodica. And I was like, that's me.